This is the Insulin podcast, where I, Owen Costello, try to redefine diabetes. In this week's episode,
how you treat a high, treat a low, how you think about a high or a low can determine how your next day, couple days, or even week goes, based on if you get pissed off about it or over-treat it or just say, ah, do you know what? I'm going to throw in the towel here. Forget about it.
But before we get into that, everything you hear on the Insulin podcast is from my own personal experience. And if you have any worries or issues regarding your diabetes, please contact a medical professional. Now, let's get stuck into this episode.
What is happening? Welcome back to the Insulin podcast with myself, Owen, and my co-host, Graham. Thank you so much for joining us. Graham, please, I'm in the middle of the intro.
Sorry.
Thanks so much for joining us.
What's going on?
We always appreciate you coming in, linking in with us week on week. And Graham, unbelievable.
This is what
I have to deal with. He's supposed to be a professional.
And I'm the producer.
It's unreal. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Graham, what do you want?
Okay, I want to play a game. It's called Orange Lotto. Do we think the orange that I just got from the kitchen is a good orange or a bad orange? What do we think?
Is it an orange or a mandarin?
It's a mandarin, but mandarin lotto doesn't sound as nice as orange lotto. So it's always a lottery when you go to the shop and you get mandarins, whether they're going to be really juicy and just perfectly sweet, or if they're really dry. So Owen, I'm going to hold up the camera. I've peeled it.
Here, well, I can't see it. Put it more to the left. No, the left. Yeah, there you go.
Your left, my right.
No, that's your left.
This is my right.
I'm telling you to put it more to your left.
This way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Hasn't been a great start.
No.
Okay, orange lotto. What are you saying? Good or bad?
Put a bit closer there. All right, because we only have the audio right now, this is, it looks like an unhealthy mandarin for anybody listening. Unhealthy. Peel it so I can see the inside. Oh, no, that has to be dry. That's definitely
saying dry. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Where did you get it from?
Aldi.
Oh, that's dry. Or actually, do I get nice oranges from Aldi, I think?
Here we go. But here's the taste test.
Did you just bite that like an apple? Did you just bite that like an apple rather than peel it?
No, I peel it. I'll take two in one. So let me give you my review. It's not dry, but it's not a good mandarin. It's not sweet.
Okay.
It has that kind of weird taste in the background, which tells me it was once sweet, but not sweet anymore.
Yeah, do you ever get those mandarins that have the weird aftertaste?
Yeah, this is one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very disappointing. I'll leave...
If anybody... is an expert on fruit, please email in and let us know what that aftertaste of a mandarin is sometimes when you eat a dodgy mandarin.
Does a mandarin affect your blood sugars?
What is it, like 15 grams of carbs, I think? Can do. Doesn't for me, because I'm thankfully very, very sensitive and my insulin to carb ratio is quite high. But if I was to eat a few mandarins, yes, I would.
I'm addicted to mandarins. It's perfect. Just a little treat. Right. We get going. A couple of emails in here.
Do you know what happened? Just while we're here. When we have that sort of conversation, I often think there's somebody out on a walk, or there's somebody driving their car, or there's somebody showing this podcast to somebody being like, listen to these guys talk about diabetes. This is a really good diabetic podcast. Yeah. Imagine turning this on the first 5 minutes you're talking about mandarins.
Yeah.
But anyway,
this is why we're an elite diabetic podcast.
Anyway, next week is all about fruit, so stay tuned.
Okay, let's go. Email time. Some good long emails here, so sit back and enjoy. Okay, let's start with Alison Graham, subject: don't throw in the towel. And Owen, I think this is in reply to an email you sent out in your weekly email list.
Yeah, it would have been. So, I actually think I remember sending that. Yeah, so if you haven't, just while we're here, if you haven't
signed up for my email list, I would strongly advise that you do, because it's a very personalized and direct to your inbox feature that we can have different to the podcast, but I drop into your inbox every now and then to shed some light on a different topic or a way of thinking or mindset around your diabetes. So obviously completely free to sign up for a newsletter. Please do. You can do that through the link in the podcast description.
Easy as. Okay, let's go. Alan says, hello. Not sure if you'll receive this or not, but I just got your don't throw in the towel email and it arrived bang on time. I've just had a high glucose alert and bloods are reading 14.9. Straight away, I'm in a bad mood. And as usual, this happens at the wrong time. Just as I'm setting off on a 2-hour car journey, so I can't get out and walk it off. So annoying. So I've taken your advice and I'm trying so hard not to let it get to me. But what do you do when you analyze it and can't figure it out? I woke up this morning with good levels, 6.9. I'm on a pump, so put on a temp reduced basal rate as I was going out for a run. 20 minutes into my run, I get a high glucose alarm. I'm using the Libre. Thankfully, I ignore it. Tech isn't always reliable, she says. I get back home after an hour of hilly running with a fast-paced downhill at the end. I check with the blood test and bloods are 5.6. Yippee! So, it's Sunday and we're driving to look at buying a new car today. So I have a shower and jump back into bed with the coffee for half an hour. In my chilled out state, I've forgotten to give myself a post bolus of 1 unit, which I usually do to prevent a spike after a run. We get up and get dressed and head for the kitchen. I blood test again and my bloods are up at 12.9. Ah, shit. Then I give myself the regular, what an idiot, you are rubbish, you've been type 1 for almost 28 years and still can't get it right speech. I've mastered that now. I make my partner a nice bowl of scrummy warm porridge with a few sultanas and cinnamon and some granary toast with butter and marmalade. How delicious. I sit back with my black coffee, glass of water and pump 2.5 units into my arm. How envious am I? Oh, the joys. We then wash up, grab some water for the journey, my jotters for marking, I'm a primary school teacher and off we go. Now here I am, I'm in the car, blood's at 14.9, not coming down but going up and I want to cry. I'm getting that horrible dry feeling in my mouth and body feels like a slug, yuck. But then I get your email and it has saved me. My mood has already been lifted and I remember that I can't always have perfect control even though I do all in my power to try. But I've tried analysing and other than the post-run bolus, I can't find any answers. Is that the reason, or have I missed something? Or is my diabetes just being a pain in the butt? Do you ever analyse and not get an answer? And if so, how do you deal with that? Yes, there is usually a reason, but sometimes diabetes just doesn't make sense. Sometimes science can't give you answers, and this is what I struggle with. I'm in my 28th year of living with diabetes, and it's tiring. Sometimes all I would like is a day off, just one. To eat porridge and toast with marmalade, to not have to deal with moments of forgetfulness, and to not have to constantly analyse my actions. I can't leave on a negative note, so I won't. So I dry my eyes and stop feeling sorry for myself. I am a type 1 diabetic, but I can control it most of the time. I've seen the most amazing advancements in technology to help me with my control. I now have an absolutely amazing little gadget on my arm, which means I don't need to stick needles into myself 5+ times a day. I have a loving family who regularly put up with my mood swings of utter joy, but also my frustration and anger, and I have so much to be thankful for. I am healthy. I can run and cycle and swim and climb mountains, which I love. Life is good. So if you are reading this, then I apologize for rambling on, but I just wanted to reach out. I really enjoy listening to your podcast, usually when I'm out running or walking, and so much that you and your listeners say has resonated with me. Every day is a school day and I've learned a lot I didn't know or I've been reminded of things I've forgotten. So thank you. Keep doing what you're doing and I wish you a future of good health and happiness. If you're ever visiting the Highlands of Scotland, then get in touch and we can climb some of the spectacular mountains. If you've not already had the privilege, then you will not be disappointed. Oh, and as I sign off, my bloods are reading 10.3 with a downward arrow, so already the day is improving. Or am I going to plummet and need to reach for Glucolift? Ah, another day on the diabetes roller coaster. Take care and have a great week. That's from Alison in Inverness.
What an unbelievable email. I'm really taken aback by that because
I feel as if I was almost taken on that journey with Alison throughout that whole day. So I really, really appreciate you taking the massive amount of time that must have taken to send that in. It really, really means a lot. And I'm delighted that the podcast is serving its purpose and helping you up to this point. Where do I start with that, Graham? There was so much. Absolutely loved it. And I suppose what jumps out at me firstly is how Alison has been diabetic for 28 years and she still feels like she's learning things. Not even just from the podcast, but just in general. Every day is like a school day. That's actually what it's like. There's always something new, some tiny strategy, tip or tactic you can pick up from the most random place that can serve you so well moving forward with your blood sugar and your diabetes management. The fact that she already shows so much awareness of her own bloods is a really positive thing. She knows that typically she requires a unit post-run to avoid that spike. And I just love that that email landed in her inbox in the right time.
Yeah.
Because we've all been there where your bloods are physically going up, but it's almost like the stress of it emotionally sometimes can hit you harder, which can be very, very frustrating. And that's why I will constantly preach about how nobody's management is perfect, ever. Nobody's management will ever be perfect. And what I always say is, if somebody does tell you their management is perfect and they don't have highs, they don't have lows, they're just lying. It's as simple as that. But for me, the closest thing that we can do to get perfect management is, when it's not perfect, practicing how we respond in our own head. And our bloods can be quite fragile in the sense that 1 week could be really, 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 really good. And then a miscalculation of insulin could lead you going low. And then you overtreat that low and you're up and down, up and down, up and down. And it's almost like the glass is being cracked and it can happen so quickly. But that glass will always crack at some point because you're never going to be 100% in range all the time. That's just a fact. But when the glass cracks, that's when you need to switch on, right, how am I responding to this thing? Because how you treat a high, treat a low, how you think about a high or a low can determine how your next day, couple of days, or even week goes based on if you get pissed off about it or over-treat it or just say, do you know what? I'm going to throw in the towel here. Forget about it. And I always say to myself, do I practice what I preach on this podcast? And do I practice what I preach with the clients that I work with? And I can confidently say I do, because I do that consistently. And I'm telling anybody listening right now that I consistently try to manage my bloods. But that doesn't mean I don't have highs or lows. Of course I have highs and lows. That's just part of the condition. But for me, the next step is, how are you reacting to that in your own head? And if I'm going low or if I'm going high or spending a night high or whatever it is, that almost will, it's almost like an instinctive reaction to be pissed off at high blood sugars for me, because I just really hate high blood sugars and low blood sugars, of course. But when they happen, I need to be able to say, right, that's just information. It's just data. What has happened? What did I do? What did I not do? Or what happened that essentially was out of my control? Was it stress? Was it hormones? Whatever. But when I know why something has happened, then it gives me the ability moving forward, puts me in a better position moving forward to say, right, next time I'm in a similar situation, is there something different I can do to potentially prevent that high or low? But it's hard to explain to somebody who isn't diabetic, because it's like, I'm listening to Alison's story of where she's 12.9, she's going up to 14.9 and then continuing to go high. It's the emotional stress of that that's more difficult. Because when you're seeing that, you're having the conversation with yourself, being like, oh, what have I done wrong? Or I'm a shit diabetic. Or how can I do this for the rest of my life? Or why can't I get it right? All these different things going through your head. But you need to just park that and say, look, it's happened. But I'm not going to allow that to piss me off for the rest of the day. Or I'm not going to allow that to crack the glass for the rest of the day, or the week, or the month, or the year, whatever it is. But being clued into that response yourself is vitally important, because everybody listening right now knows it's more mental, it's more emotional than physical. So being aware of these things, don't throw in the towel. Try and understand to the best of your ability why things are happening, and try and understand what sort of action can you take moving. That was a voice crack. That wasn't me getting emotional, just to clarify. Lost my train of thought. But basically, in those moments, that's an opportunity for you to practice how you respond to a high or to a low. Think of it that way. And Alison, I appreciate the invite to the Scotland High Hills. I will definitely be joining you for a hike anytime I'm over.
And that all came from being on Owen's email list. So the link is in the description of this podcast, wherever you are listening to it, be it on iTunes, Spotify, CastBox, Google Podcasts, wherever. Just go into the description. It'll bring you to Linktree, and then you'll be able to sign up for Owen's email list. Okay, let's go on. Email number two. Another long one, but let's sit back, relax, or you might be on your run as well, like Alison was. This is from Anna. And Anna Hunter, and she says, your podcast is helping me. And she says, hi Owen, I just wanted to say thank you for your podcast and a funny story about how it's helped me tonight. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes just over a year ago. I was admitted to hospital on Hogmanay. What an end to crazy 2020. And I do believe that Hogmanay is what they call New Year's in Edinburgh. I think it's kind of a festival in Edinburgh. It was at the age of 39. No family history, so totally came out of the blue. I'm currently a stay-at-home mum to a four-year-old boy and a two-year-old girl, so life was already hectic to say the least. And sometimes I feel like diabetes was like being handed a newborn to take care of. On top of this, it certainly demands a lot of my time and attention. I'm still in the honeymoon phase, so currently on no background insulin, just NovoRapid before meals, and was lucky enough to be prescribed Libre 2 very soon after my diagnosis, which is an amazing tool for me. I have my blood sugars pretty well controlled now day to day, time in target about 90% plus, although as I'm learning, it's a constantly changing condition and I just have to adapt as I learn as I go. I've listened to several episodes of your podcast whenever I get a chance and have found them all really helpful and encouraging. It's comforting to know so many others are going through the same struggles and hear stories of some inspirational people doing remarkable things while living with type 1 diabetes. Anyway, I'm writing this message at 4 a.m, having just been out for a brisk walk around the deserted streets near my house in the freezing wind and rain for the past hour. I live in Scotland. My husband and I got the rare chance of a babysitter this evening and went out for a three-course dinner and drink for the first time in forever. We had a lovely time, but I woke up around 3 a.m. to find my blood sugar over 13 millimoles per litre and rising. I lay awake for a while, wondering whether just to go back to sleep and hope it dropped by morning, or to take some more insulin and worry about having a hypo in my sleep, but eventually decided that neither was ideal, so got up and got dressed and went for a walk in the dark and cold instead. Nothing else for it but to make the most of it, so I pinched my husband's AirPods and took in an episode of your podcast, episode 101 with Lauren Bongiorno, on my stroll. So I just wanted to say thanks to you and Lauren for keeping me company on my middle of the night walk. And when the kids wake up in a couple of hours, I'll try to console myself with the fact that maybe I've learned something new.
I love it.
Also, it worked and I'm back in range now. Brilliant. Oh, and you can let me know if I'm daft for dealing with the late night high in this way. Would most people just stay in bed and sort it out in the morning? All tips and advice very welcome. To be fair, I normally don't eat so late or so much. This was a once-off. Thanks again. I'm so glad I came across your podcast. It's really helpful for newbies like me. Please keep up the good work. And that is from Anna, who is also from Scotland. So that's two Scottish ladies.
I was just thinking that.
In the one episode. So if we're not the number one diabetic podcast in Scotland, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. There we go. What do we think going?
Love it. Anna, thank you so much. I really appreciate you again, much like Alison, taking so much time to share that story. And again, I felt like I was on a journey with that email, because I know exactly the thought process. I know exactly the feeling behind all of those different things that you brought up. So I appreciate it. And again, delighted that you're benefiting from the podcast. And actually, just because you mentioned the Lauren Bongiorno podcast, I actually had a low blood sugar. I think I told you this, Graham, too. I had a low blood sugar shortly before that episode with Lauren. So like I'd obviously recovered from the hypo, but I still felt as if I was almost melting during that episode. So if I sound in any way off throughout that episode, that's why.
For anyone who's listening that mightn't be aware of what the honeymoon period is, can you give a brief description of that? Because I know that's what Anna is going through right now in her first year.
Yeah, so the honeymoon period essentially is when your pancreas almost kind of kicks back in producing insulin for a certain amount of time before finally it rests in peace in terms of producing insulin. So
must be so confusing, because you're thinking, oh, this diabetes thing is pretty easy.
Well, that's exactly what happened to me. So I was diagnosed in 2012, and about, if I remember correctly, it was about, I think, 6 months after I was initially diagnosed, I was in the honeymoon period. And I was pretty much taking like zero insulin.
Mad.
And I was obviously monitoring my blood sugar throughout this whole time, keeping in touch with my doctors to make sure everything was okay and why I wasn't taking insulin. Because I was eating as normal, training as normal, everything, but just barely taking any insulin. And I was thinking, what's everybody complaining about? this is easy. It's like, sure, you don't have to do anything. And I was obviously not naive in terms of that's actually what I felt. But I remember thinking, how long can this last? Because if this just continues, this is a walk in the park. And then boom, the insulin obviously stopped fully. And what happened was, because I wasn't taking any insulin as a result of me being in the honeymoon period, when I stopped fully producing insulin, my bloods were just going consistently higher. So obviously, as my bloods were going higher and higher and higher and higher, I required more insulin and more insulin and more insulin. And then just over time, I steadily knew that, oh, so this is what everyone's complaining about. It makes sense now.
And yeah. What about the question Anna was asking about getting up in the middle of the night to deal with her blood sugars? She was like, am I being silly doing this? Do people just deal with it in the morning? What would you say to that?
On the surface, it can sound like an unusual thing to do, but it makes sense. And again, like I always say, how you treat your diabetes, how you treat your blood sugar is unique to you. What suits your lifestyle, your routine, or even the type of person that you are, stick to that. But I wouldn't be relying on a midnight walk to bring my blood sugar down, because if you go through certain periods of struggling with nighttime highs and you're only saying to yourself, this is the only way I'm getting my blood sugar down is going for a freezing midnight walk in Scotland, it's probably not a good idea. But I also understand the thought process that Anna had around, she doesn't want to take a massive amount of insulin to counteract the high and then go back to sleep and risk a hypo during the night. For me, I was the same like that for a while. But then as my confidence grew with my condition and my management and my treatment of highs in general, I was a lot more comfortable taking a correction dose and going back to sleep. Personally, because I'm confident of what my body requires. But much like last week when we were talking about the difference between correcting highs and correcting lows, how you correct your highs can be very unique to you in terms of how high you might be, the type of correction dose or ratio that you need. And these things will all come with time, Anna. So don't be feeling too overwhelmed in terms of trying to get everything right already. You were diagnosed in 2020. There's still loads to learn, loads of time to learn. So these things will happen as you go. But just, again, paying attention to things like the amount of insulin that usually brings me down, what sort of number, as in, does one unit bring me down 3 millimoles? Does one unit bring me down 2? Whatever it might be. These things you learn over time. And then with that, you will have more confidence to be taking correction doses if required, rather than just a midnight freezing cold walk in Scotland, which it wouldn't be ideal.
I can imagine a part of it too is, and I didn't want her to be dealing with the hypo in the morning when she has a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old to be looking after. So she probably thought, let's just get this done now. Let's go for my walk and try and figure it out. So I'll wake up with good bloods and then I can deal with my kids.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny, well, not funny, but when I think and hear of people who have to manage their diabetes along with a family or young kids or whatever it might be, the respect that I have for those people is just of the highest regard, because I don't have kids right now. Maybe I will in time. And I know that managing your diabetes is like having a kid. Well, I know in terms of the attention that it needs, it's obviously very different, but there's another voice crack. What is the story? I wonder, will they ever go? Anyway, let me finish this point. I have massive respect for people who manage their diabetes along with all of the other things life brings.
Anna, we hope that was helpful. And Alison, thank you very much for emails. And any more emails you want to give, theinsulinowenpodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Greatly appreciate your time with those emails today. They were almost like essays.
Yeah.
You'd be proud to be handing those into like an English exam or something. So appreciate the time and the stories. Always very relevant. And I know they help me personally hearing these stories, but also anybody else listening. And that's what we always say about the email and the question episodes. You may never speak to or meet anyone who listens to the Insulin podcast, but if you email in, give some advice, experience, insight, or share a story, it's almost like we're all having a conversation about or around the round table. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the podcast as always. We look forward to seeing your analytics next week to know that you're listening, to know that you're checking in each week. But as always, have a good day. Have a good week. Look after those blood sugars. Chat to you soon. Take it easy. Have a good day. Good luck. Enjoy yourself. Love you all. Take it easy, Graham.
Bye.